tremendous chus and opportunity to learn again from Mrs. Michal Horowitz before we enter the Chag of Pesach. We're looking forward to a tremendous lineup again. We have Mrs. Michal Horowitz, Mrs. Amy Horowitz, and then Rebbetzin Malka Telger. No further ado, Mrs. Horowitz.
Okay, good evening. Welcome everybody to our special Shiurim with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah, Erev Pesach. Here we go. So we say, thank you very much for inviting me to speak, of course, and I appreciate the opportunity to share Torah very much. So let's learn. Towards the end of Maggid, in the passage of Maggid in the Haggadah, on Leil HaSeder, right before the end of Maggid, before we say the Fichach, therefore we are obligated to give thanks and to praise and to glorify and laud. We say two kapitach of Tehillim as part of the Halal, Halleluka, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, B'tzei Yisrael, and then we make such a beautiful bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. Immediately before that, we end the whole story of Maggid. We've gone through the whole journey and we've asked the four questions and we've invited the guests, not in that order, on Avadim Hayinu, Arami Oved Avid, and we talk about the four sons and Vayirei Yosanu Mitzrim. We go through the whole experience of Leil HaSeder, Pesach, Matzah, Umar. We talk about the Yitzia, and we talk about the Shibur, and then we say, Bechol Dar Vadar, in each and every generation, Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Kilehu Yatzam Mitzrayim. In each and every generation, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. What is the proof for that? A pasuk from Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Gimel, Shenemar, Vehigadot Halabincha Bayam Hulemer, like we say, the pasuk says, and you should tell your child, your son, on that day, saying, Bavurza Asa Hashem Li. Because of this, God did for me, but say to Mitzrayim, for me, God did when I left Egypt. Not only our forefathers alone did God redeem from Egypt, but also us, he took out of there to bring us to this land. B'chol dar v'dar, chayiv adam lirot et atzmo, ki'ilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim. You have a mitzvah to see yourself as if he left Egypt. I was listening to a shir by Rabbi Zev Leff. For those who heard me speak about this in a different venue last week, I'm giving a different approach, so don't get off the Zoom call. He gave three reasons, Paulus Bodek, and I touched upon one last week, and I'm going to focus on another one tonight. So Rabbi Zev Leff said, Shlita of Moshav Matityahu, that he has asked this question to literally, he said, tens of thousands of people all over the world in the last three or four decades of teaching. This was a shir, a pre-Pesach shir of Rabbi Zev Leff from a previous year. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. Listen on online. So he says, I have asked this question to tens of thousands of people over the past three, four decades of teaching and lecturing. He said, how many of you actually on Leil HaSeder, when you come up to the passage, you've gone through the whole story of Maggid, and you say, Chayav Adam Lirot Et Atzmo Kilehu Yatzam Mitzrayim, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. How many of you actually feel like you were enslaved in Egypt and now you left? So the answer is no. And I don't buy it that people, women, listen, I'm not cleaning up in my house. And Baruch Hashem, I'm also making Pesach. And I still don't feel like I was in Egypt. I don't care how much you work. And in our day and age of conveniences, you didn't feel like you're in Egypt. They're not putting your babies between the bricks. They're just not. They're not torturing you. And they don't have clubs and they don't have whips. How could you feel like you left Egypt? So Rabbi Zev Leff said, I don't understand. Do we have a mitzvah to do something that's absolutely impossible? No one in the world could fulfill this mitzvah. Hashem gave us a mitzvah that you can't fulfill. No one could fulfill this mitzvah. Maybe I was thinking my grandparents, Alayhi Masham, could say that they felt like they were in Egypt when they left. But for all the rest of us, you can't. Doesn't matter how much cleaning you did. You don't feel like you were in Egypt. There was not a taskmaster. Power wasn't standing there saying, lax, you're being lax. Your baby boy was never thrown into the river, Baruch Hashem. So how could you say you felt like you left Egypt? So Rabbi Zev Leff said, do we have a mitzvah to fulfill that no one can do? So how do we understand this? It has to be, we are not approaching this mitzvah with the proper understanding. There has to be a way to fulfill it. And he gave three approaches. One, which is something that I've spoken about many times in the past, Mitzrayim is Mitzarim, between the streets. This is his third answer, and it's something that I've spoken about. Don't read it Mitzrayim, Ella read it Mitzarim. You have come out at some point in your life, you've been in a narrow strait, personal difficulty, you felt squeezed or conflicted, contracted between difficult, between a rock and a hard place, you might say. You were freed from that situation, so you could feel like you left personally your Mitzarim, your difficult straits, and that's freedom. That's one way. Because he said, it doesn't say, Kiluhu yatsa me eretz Mitzrayim. It says kiluhu yatsa mi Mitzrayim. It doesn't say that you left the land of Egypt. You left a difficult time in your life so you could connect to that feeling of redemption. You were in a difficult time and you left it, or God took you out, or there was salvation. That was his third answer. His second answer, I'm going in a backwards order. His second answer was on the level of the neshama, your neshama feels connected. So going through the mitzvot of Leil HaSeder, even if intellectually you don't feel like you were in Egypt, somehow your neshama is connected. He gave the mashal of a computer and the inside of a computer. The cables all have to be connected properly inside the computer. You wouldn't say to someone, you know, it's okay, I don't know anything about the internal workings of the computer, but you know, you could put this modem with that piece and you could put the square with the circle and it doesn't matter if the awa doesn't fit with the, I don't know, the charger that goes in it, and it will still work. Of course it won't work. If the pieces don't connect how they're supposed to connect, it's not going to work. You're going to turn on the computer and there's not going to be anything working. Why? Because internally there has to be connection. Once the internal connection works, so the external, you'll turn on your computer and Baruch Hashem, that's how we're all Zooming. I'm not in Florida, and some of you, I don't know if you're in Florida either. Some of you may be, some of you may not be. How are we connected? Because the computer works. Why is the computer working? Because the connections internally are okay. So you can turn on your device and we could see each other. So Rabbi Zavlov said, you would never say, it doesn't matter. Just put all the cables inside how you want and you expect it to work. No one would think that. You know, it won't work. He said, so too with the mitzvot of Leil HaSeder. In order for your neshama to journey from Egypt to freedom, from Sheba to Geula, from Afela to Ora, you need to go through all the parts of Leil HaSeder in the proper order, the matzah and mar in the proper shiur, the four cups of wine, the recitation of halal, the telling over of the story. Even if you don't intellectually feel like you left Egypt, on the level of your neshama, there's a connection. Just like think of that computer. He said there's always, he says, the seminar. And by the way, I listened to the shiur once, and then on Friday, it took me many hours, to clean all my kitchen cabinets. So, and I have to tell you, I'm not talking about the inside of the cabinets, I'm talking about the outside of the cabinets. With a toothpick. I think this is the first time in my life I ever cleaned from Pesach with a toothpick. I told my husband, you see, never make fun of people who clean with a toothpick. You might just be one of them. It was worth all those hours of avodah for the few pieces of oats I found towards the end. Hours. It took me hours last week. I did it over different days. Hours. On a chair, on a stool, with shmatas, with wood spray, with water, with toothpicks, okay? For the few pieces of oats that I found on the exterior of one of the cabinets. Like, it wasn't like in the crack that you can't reach it. I was so happy. So I re-listened to the shiur, and I would stop cleaning for a few minutes just to take notes to make sure I had it properly to be able to teach this evening. So on the level of your neshama, so he said, there's always someone at the seder. He said, the seminary girls, the yeshiva boys, they come with their papers, their measurements, the shiur for matzah, the shiur for maror, he said. There's always someone at the seder who says, 8 minutes, 2 minutes, 6 minutes, just eat the matzah, who cares? He says, would you say, just connect all the cables inside, who cares, it's going to work. Doesn't work like that. There needs to be an order, there needs to be a seder. There are guidelines that you have to follow if you want the computer to be connected internally and then work externally. So too, one way to fulfill b'chol dar v'dar chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatzam mitzrayim is on the level of the neshama. When you go through all the mitzvot of Leil HaSeder properly, your neshama is connected, whether you know how it works or not. Listen, you ask me, Michal, how's my computer working? I have no idea. But obviously, Apple and my MacBook put all the pieces connected together. So when I open it, Baruch Hashem, it's working. And we could learn together. How? I don't know how. How exactly my neshama connects? I don't know, but it works. So again, personally, it doesn't say you left Me Eretz Mitzrayim. It says Mitzrayim. Don't read it Mitzrayim, read it Mitzarim. You left the streets. You had a personal Yisrael, a personal difficult time in your life. Hashem took you out. You could relate to the feeling of being constricted and now being free. That's the reason number three the Rabbi Zavlov gave. I'm giving it number one. Reason number two he gave on the level of your neshama. Just like think of the computer, mashal. When you go through all the mitzvot of Leil HaSeder on the level of your neshama, can I tell you how a computer works? No. But your neshama connects. Rabbi Zev said, now we're going to go to the third, which is the focus of tonight's shiur. Rabbi Zev said, if it was up to me, and you gave me this mitzvah, Chayev Adam, a person is obligated to see himself as if he left Egypt. Rabbi Zev said, this is what my Seder would look like. I would invite two groups of people. Each group will have 10 people. We have group A, 10 people, group B, 10 people. We'll hold the Seder in my backyard. I will give group A clubs and whips, and I will give group B cement and mortar and straw, and I will have group A stand over group B and beat them with the clubs and the whips, and group B tries to make bricks as many as they can in 2 hours. After 2 hours, we'll switch places, I'll give group B the clubs and the whips. I'll give group A the mortar, the cement, and the straw. Group B will be group A, so everybody will have both experiences. Some will be the taskmaster, some will be the slaves. After 4 hours, we'll say, now you go free. Rabbi Zevla said, that's my idea. He said, but what's God's idea? I wrote this down. It was Erev Shabbos when I was listening to the show, I'll clean the cabinets. God's idea is, let's now experience 210 years of oppression and slavery. Let's eat some lettuce. That's a quote from Rabbi F. Okay. Well, my idea would be, he said, put on a play. Make a movie. Reenact the slavery. Then you could say I left because I was beaten. Okay, not 210 years. I made bricks. I was stuck in the mud. So God said, no, God's idea is let's now experience 210 years of oppression and slavery. Let's eat some lettuce. So how do we understand the whole climax of Leil Seder, the whole journey, the apex of Leil Seder, everything you've been through, this is at the end of Maggid, is to bring you to the point where you should go through the whole journey. I was there, but none of us feel like we were there. It's impossible. Someone inevitably says, I clean for Pesach. They reach out to me, they say, I feel like I was in Egypt. No, you don't. I'm sorry. No, you don't. It's insulting to the people who were in Egypt to even say that. So what's going on? So the first reason was personally, al tikrei Mitzrayim, ala Mitzrayim. The second one, on the level of your neshama, even if you don't understand the connection, just like you might not understand what's going on the computer, but it's obvious that it has to be connected properly. That's what the mitzvahs of Leil Seder do. Level of neshama. Three, intellectually. What does this mean intellectually? So Rabbi Zavlev explained as follows. What is the proof of Yitzias Mitzrayim? What is the proof of the Shibur and then the Yitzhak that our nation left? Is it hearsay? Is it something you were told? Is it something you read in a magazine? Is it something that someone came up with and nobody ever heard about this before? The proof of Yitzias Mitzrayim, like we say in the beginning of Maggid, that's the passage from the end of Maggid. What is the passage in the beginning of Maggid? Avadim Hayinu, the power of Mitzrayim, Hayinu. We were there, and Hashem took us out. Biyad Chazaku v'zorane tuya. We lo hotis right after the manishdana. We lo hotia kosh baruchos avasein mitzrayim. Harei anu uvenenu ubenei banenu. Behold us and our sons and our sons' sons. Mishuat mishubadim hayinu the power of mitzrayim. We were all there, and we would still be there if God had not taken us out. What is the proof of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Quote, it is the unbroken chain of tradition from one door to the next. The father who was there told his son, who told his son, who told his son, who told his son, who told his son, down to our day and our age. The unbroken chain of the oral Mesorah from those Israelites who left Egypt down to us in our day and age. And he said, this all depends on once a year, sitting down on Leil HaSeder, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. And it is a mitzvah to continue. A new link in the chain. Every person must see that. So not that I was actually there, because none of us were there, no matter how much Windex you used and how many toothpicks and how much oats you found on the outside of your cabinet. You weren't there. Baruch Hashem, they never threw my baby into the Nile River. Hashem Yerachem Aleinu. But intellectually, you realize you have a tremendous responsibility. You're one link in a chain that is unbroken all the way back to the Dor Hadea, all the way back to the Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim. It didn't get broken. There's no broken telephone. It's not something you read in the history books. It's absolute proof because a whole nation saw what happened. They told their children who told their children. And once a year, you sit down on Leil HaSeder and you realize the importance of this night and this moment. You have an achrayus, a responsibility to continue to build one more link on the chain. He said, this is the foundation of our religion. Mitzvah Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Sir Rabbi, is not just a story. Not telling over a story in a storybook. Anyone could tell over a story. In fact, anyone could make up a story. You're continuing the link in our religion. The former generation tells the current generation who will pass it on to the next generation. What does the Pasuk say in the beginning of Parshas Bo? Which is one of the parashios of deal that deal with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Very, very much so. The last three makos occur in Parshas Bo. Korban Pesach is commanded in Parshas Bo, Rosh Chodesh, not in that order, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makos Bechoros. And Hashem said to Moshe, Bo al Paro, come to Pharaoh, ki ani hichbadati at libo. This is right in the beginning, Perek Yud of the book of Shemos. I've hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants so that I can put wonders, my wonders in his midst, uleman tisaper, in order that you will tell, ba'azne bincha, uben bincha, es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim, in order that you will tell in the ears of your sons, and the sons of your sons, that I made a mockery of the Egyptians and the great signs that I placed. So Rabbi Zavlev said, why does it say Ba'azne bincha uven bincha? Why doesn't it just say Ba'azne bincha? So he quoted from the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, who says, you do not need to tell your grandson. Your responsibility is l'man tisaper Ba'azne bincha. That Ben will then tell Ben bincha. Who will tell his ben bincha, who will tell bin, his ben bincha, abiyas kol tzedek. Your responsibility is to tell your son. And Rabbi Lev said, maybe that's why it says, uleman tisaper ba'ozne, in the ears of your son. Why in the ears? Rabbi Zavla said, where else would you tell? In their foot? In their hand? You know, come here, I want to tell you something. Lend an ear. Pay attention. Are you listening? Of course you're going to tell in the ears of your son. There's nowhere else to tell. So what does it mean, uleman tisaper ba'ozne? He said, tell it in a way that your children will understand. In his ears, what is his level? Not every child is on the same level. Not every person's on the same intellectual, academic, social, emotional level. He said, whether it's the Chacham, the wise son, the Rasha, the wicked son, the Tam, the simpleton, the She'eni Odei Elishol, even the one who doesn't know how to ask Apsachlo, whatever it is, tell on their level, on that way that that child can understand, so that he can form the next link in the chain. So intellectually, you can fulfill this mitzvah, even if you don't feel like you were there. You know that your grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather were there. So it's as if I was there, because the key is that it's an unbroken link from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim down to us. Speak to the ears of the four sons, the way they can understand it. That's how you must give it over. I saw something very, very interesting when I was preparing for a different shir last week. The Maase b'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva. This is what we recite right after Avadim Hayinu, right in the beginning of Magid. Rabbi Tarfun, Shayu Mesupim b'Bnei Brak, Vahiyu Mesaprim b'Tziyah Mitzrayim Kol Oto Laila. These great rabbis were sitting in Bnei Brak and they were telling the story of Yetziyah Mitzrayim the whole entire night. And Ad Shabo Talmideim v'Armulahem, their Talmidim came to them and they said, Rabbi Senu, our rabbis, Higiyas Man Kriya Shema, has come the time to accept Kabbalas all Malchus Shemaim upon ourselves. You spent the whole night telling about Sibur Yetziyah Mitzrayim, and now it's time to accept the yoke of the sovereignty of heaven upon yourselves. So I saw this brought down in two different Haggadot, one by Rav Asher Weishlita, one of the Gedolei Poskim today, and the other by Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, and they both write in their Haggadot the same idea. One quotes of Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, and one quotes the Kotzker. And I never saw it before last week. Rabbi Seinu, our rabbis, Higiyas Man Kriya Shema, the time for Kriya Shema, because they said, don't it? Shachris. Shachris is an acronym. It stands for the four sons. Because after you go through the whole experience of Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim, Kol Ozo Halayla, if you fulfill the mitzvah properly, Laman Tesaper Ba'azne Bincha, if you properly tell to your child in his level, he will be ready to be Makabal Omar. That's what Shema represents. Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Echad, the sovereignty of accepting the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. Your child will be ready after you go through Kol Oso Halayda Hayu Misaprim B'Sibur Yetziyah Mitzrayim. Your child will be ready to accept the yoke of the sovereignty in heaven and eventually pass it on to his child. What Shachris? The She'eino Yodei Elishol. Again, I saw this brought down by Rav Asher Weishlita and Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichronot Rechal. Shachris, the She'eino Yodei Elishol, Ches. The Chacham, Reish, obviously the Rasha, and Tav stands for the Tam. So no matter who the child is, if you go, I thought it was so beautiful, if you go through the process properly, then your child will be able to accept what you have given them and eventually tell it over to the next generation. And therefore, Laman Tesaper Ba'azne Bincha Uben Bincha, your responsibility is to tell it in the ears of your child, whether it's the Shachra, She'eni Yodeh, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, the way he can understand. You know, you could try and teach me, I don't know, physics. And you might want to come in here and have a conversation, or going back to the computer. You ought to tell me all about the internal workings and how my MacBook works. So if you talk in a way that's above me, my eyes are going to glaze over. I'm going to have no idea what you're saying. Like, literally no idea. Ba'aznei, says Rabbi Lef, because no word in the Torah is superfluous, teaches us that it must be in the ears of your child in the way that he can understand. It ties, of course, into Chanuch Lenar, Al Pidarko, Gam Ki Yazkin, Lo Yasur Mimenu. If you want him to take that Masorah into his old age, Gam Ki Yazkin, Lo Yasur Mimenu, if you want him to take the Masorah into his old age, then teach the child in the way that he can understand. It is nowhere more pronounced than on Leil HaSeder, when so much focus is around the children. Remove the ka'ara, cover the ka'ara, open the ka'ara, pick up the coals, put down the coals, dip. Why? Kadesha Yishalo Tinokos. But how does it have to be told over to them on the level that they can understand? Not only because of the mitzvah of chinuch, because they're the next link in the chain that is unbroken from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Lef said, that's why. It doesn't say, Bechol dor vador chayav adam lirot et atzmo kihilu hu hayam yotze Mitzrayim. It says, chayav adam lirot et atzmo kihilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim. What's the difference? Miyotze Mitzrayim is there are a bunch of you, a lot of people left. I happen to be from amongst those who left Egypt. So I don't have such an important task, and if someone else does it, it's also okay. Someone else is going to do it. Doesn't have to be me. I mean, there were 600,000 men, plus all the women, plus all the children, plus all the orphans of those who died. See, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel to Chamushim Alu B'nei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, plus all the orphans of those who died by Makas B'choros. There are so many people, what, 2.5 million people? So I don't have the Tafkins on me. Lo Alecham L'chal D'gmar, who cares if I tell or you tell? My neighbor will tell. He's more eloquent. He's a better speaker. He's more well-versed in scriptures. He could tell his son the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. There were 2.5 million of us. So, no. It doesn't say Chayav Adam Lirot et Atzmo Kihulu Kiiluhu Haya Miyotze Mitzrayim. That means you're one of 2.5 million. Kiiluhu, you alone left Egypt. One person. The entire burden of responsibility of transmitting the Masorah, of the foundation of our religion, of the belief in the Ribono Shel Olam depends on you. Chayav Adam, not Chayav Klal Yisrael Lirot et Atzmam. It's in the singular. You are the only one there. And your grandfather is the only one there. And his grandfather, and his grandfather, and his grandfather. Don't expect someone else. Lo Ata Ben Chorin, I guess pun intended in the context of my tear, Ben Chorin. Lo Ata Ben Chorin Libatal Mimeno. You cannot shirk responsibility because don't see yourself as one as 2.5 million. You're one person. And every person counts. And that's how you can fulfill Bechol Dor Vadar. You see, Dor Vadar, from generation to generation. Chayav Adam, the individual, Lirot et Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatsa Mitzrayim. It wasn't a mass gathering. There wasn't so many other people. Look at the impact of one individual to transmit the Masorah in an unbroken chain through the ages. I once heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say something interesting, an interesting ha'ara that I never considered before. Look at the power of one individual. He said, you know, before COVID, people used to travel a lot. And he said, say whatever you want. I don't like taking off my shoes in the airport, he said. I don't like taking off my shoes in the airport. He said, do I look like I'm the guy who has a bomb in my shoe? But you have to take off your shoes. Why do you have to take off your shoes when you go to the airport? He said, I'm not talking about days of COVID or the past year, okay? Before COVID, BC. There's a new BC and AC. Are we in AC yet? We're hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, getting there. Before COVID, how many millions of people traveled? I'm talking about all of them. I'm not talking about the United States. All over the people are traveling all over the world all the time. How many people travel by air in a month? Why do you have to take off your shoes in the airport? Because one mentally unstable person, once upon a time, put explosives in a shoe. And now every single traveler and every single passenger, whenever they go through the airport, has to take off their shoes. Rabbi Shechter said, you're going to tell me one person doesn't count? It was such a beautiful perspective. You're going to tell me one person doesn't make a difference? That man, I don't know his name, that man, could look it up, the shoe bomber, he's known by as the shoe bomber, right? That man changed the course of aviation history. He's only one person. Out of over a year, tens of millions of people, Chayav l'havdil, Adam l'ra'ot et atzmo. You are the only one who is there. And your father and his father and his father and his father and his father We're the only ones there. And it depends on you. Ulaman tisaper ba'aznei bincha. Your son is an individual. Im eina nili mili, says Hillel. Zecher l'mikdash kehillel. Kein asa hillel b'zman sh'beis ha'mikdash hayekayam. Ayo korech pesach matzu marvelcha b'yachad. What did Hillel tell us? Im eina nili mili. The task is upon you. So even though you might not get up at the end of Seder, and usually you might say, I'm so tired, I'm so full, it's so late, look at the cleanup. You should say, I was in Egypt, and I left Egypt, but where are you? You might not physically feel like you were literally in Egypt, since this aspect of the mitzvah is impossible, but you can intellectually understand your tafkid and responsibility to the Ribono Shel Olam, to Knesset Yisrael, and to the transmission of the Mesorah. Before I go to a piece by Rav Salvechik that relates exactly, beautiful enhancement, if you will, of the teaching of Rabbi Leff, along the same topic, very much so. Let's just recap. If it was up to me, said Rabbi Leff, I would make a skit. You have 10 taskmasters, 10 slaves. After 2 hours, we switch. God says, no, you know what? I want you to feel 200 years of oppression, so let's eat some lettuce. So what's going on here? 3 ways. Number one, personally, don't read it Mitzrayim, read it Mitzarim. It doesn't say Kihulu hu yatsa me'aretz Mitzrayim. It says Mitzarim. Everybody at some point goes through difficulties in life. Hopefully there was some degree of Yeshua. You left that difficulty. Emotionally, you could feel personally connected to the idea of experiencing Geula. That was his reason number three. That was reason R number one. Number two, it's the level of your neshama. I can't feel it, understand it. Just like, I don't know, I can't explain how a computer works. However, I know that if everything is connected, the computer is going to work. If I make all the pieces line up on Leil HaSeder, my neshama will connect to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the third reason, which we delved into much more in depth, is intellectually the understanding of the great achrayus and responsibility on each and every one of us to fulfill, like the mitzvah says in Parshas Bo, Ulaman tisaper ba'oznei bincha uven vincha es asher salalti b'mitzrayim, says the kids of Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to tell the ben bincha, you have to tell your bincha. Who's going to tell the ben bincha? Why ba'oznei, said Rabbi Lev? Because it has to be in a level that your son can hear. I don't just mean auditorily stimulate his pathways up to his auditory cortex. Chap. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand? So how do you have to speak? On whatever level your son is, we related it to something that I read last week, both by Rabbi Dr. Lam, Zichron Avrecha, and by Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. Shachris stands for the four sons. He gives man priya shemashal shachris. If you tell over the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim properly and relive the experience and transmit, then it heightens our amuna and kucha brichu. And then he gives man priya shemashal shachris. Then I'm ready to be makabel o machu shemayim and say shemayi so shema kadoshem echad. Shachris, the four sons. All four sons will be able to acknowledge the sovereignty, the dominion, the rulership of God. And this whole process will enhance the experience, therefore, of the whole family. Beautiful. Beautiful. I could say that because I didn't say anything on my own. I'm repeating it. And I'm quoting all my sources. And like we said, no one should say it's not up to me. I said it, said Rabbi Lev. Doesn't say, Kihulu hu haya mi yotze mitrayim. You were not amongst a group of 2.5 million people. It was your direct great, 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 great grandfather alone. And now it's up to you. What's the power of one, said Rabbi Shai Shechter? Just look at the shoe bomber and tell me one person cannot change the whole world. So the Pasuk says, Ulaman tisaper ba'oznei bincha, which we've already expanded upon according to Rabbi Lef. Uben bincha isa sheri salalti b'mitzrayim. You should tell your in the ears of your sons and your sons and your sons' sons that I made a mockery of Egypt, the es osasai, and my signs asher samti bam, the yedatem ki ani Hashem. That's how the pasuk ends, which I didn't quote. Then the pasuk gets parshas bo perigud pasuk beis. The whole point of this sipur is v'yadatim ki ani Hashem. When you come to the end of the night, you're ready to talk or say the Shema. I know that this is God. I'm ready to declare Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Let's quote from Rav Salvechik. Very powerful piece that complements very much what we're speaking about tonight. And then you realize you have an awesome responsibility. It's not just that the food should taste good. Of course it should taste good. It's Yom Tov. It's not just that the table should be nice. It should be nice. Don't be so tired from scraping the oatmeal off the cabinets that you come to the Seder. And you think you're potter from the mitzvah. That would be a tremendous, tremendous loss. Chas v'sham, you should not be the one to break the link in the chain. You know, lahav de alfei avdalos. Please forgive me. Sometimes you get memes or WhatsApp that says, don't break the chain. Send this to 10 people or okay, so don't break the chain. Says Rav Salavejuk, l'man tisaper ba'aznei bincha uben bincha. And in order that you recount, I told my whole family when I found that oatmeal. I hope you could tell from me telling it over how happy I was. It was by the milchik side. So obviously someone opened an oatmeal packet. It's right, there's the microwave, there's the counter, there's the cabinets where I found the oats. Someone must have opened at some point over the year the oatmeal packet. You couldn't like see it. I had to like really like be sitting in front of it on a little stool. And some of the oatmeal must have fallen down when they opened the packet. And Baruch Hashem, Michal Arutz was zochah to find it, and it made the whole thing worth it. And in order that even if I wouldn't have found it, it would have been worth it. I know the Shem Shemayim is clean for Pesach, but Hashem has given me a chizuk that you see there was really something here. And in order that you shall recount into the ears of your son and your son's son, that I made a mockery of Egypt, but what's the end of the pasuk? And the wonders that I put, v'yedatem, not that Paro should know that I am Hashem. Notice. Not. V'yeda paro ki ani Hashem, v'yedatem, you shall know. The word sipur, and this piece, the Rav focuses on the root word of samich pei resh. We have a mitzvah of sipur yetzi'ah mitzvayim. Samich pei resh. The word sipur, which we translate as story, as in sipur yetzi'ah mitzvayim, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, is rooted in the verb, saper, samech peish, to account, to recount. What is going on? Let's say that sentence again. The word sipur, as in sipur yitzia mitzrayim, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, is rooted in the verb saper, as in to recount, samech peish. The word is also related. Now, in Lashon HaKodesh, we have a principle, and that principle is when words are based on the same shoresh, they are very significant, and somehow they're connected. So the fact that siach means plant, and lasuach means tefillah, Bereishis 2:5, and Bereishis 24:63, and it means conversation, Tehillim 119, chapter 119, letter Shin Sin. So that means that there's a connection between these three words, plants, called siach hasada termia ba'aretz, so it doesn't seem like they're any connected. Plants, prayer, conversation. So there's a principle. If words are the same, shoresh and lash, in English, plant is plant, prayer is prayer, conversation is conversation. They're three very different things. In Lashon HaKodesh, if words share the same root, it's so beautiful. You should focus on shoreshim in your learning. There's a meaning. So the word sipur, story, is also rooted in the related to the noun sofer, a scribe. Sofer stem, a scribe. The common etymological root of these words suggests that a story can be transmitted orally. Sipur, I can tell over the story. Lamantisaper ba'ozne, I'm not writing with a pen and an ink on the ears of my child. I'm telling it over. Ulaman tisaper, that means I can orally tell the story. But on the other hand, the fact that these three letters, samech pei resh, forms the root of the word for sofer, which means scribe, also means that the story can be transmitted how? By the written word. Ezra of Salavechek, Megillas Esther, we just had Purim, less than a month ago, is referred to as both an igeres, a letter, and a sefer, a book. Another word that's based on these three letters of the shorish is sefer. So we have sipur, which means story, sofer, which means scribe, and sefer, which means book. The difference between an igeres, a letter, and a sefer, is that an igeres is written to less exacting standards than a sefer. Think about it. If you're writing somebody a letter, basically you could have some spelling mistakes. I mean, it's not nice, but you might leave off some punctuation, and you don't need to necessarily have an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. You're writing someone a letter. Excuse me. If you're writing a book, it must be according to much more rigorous guidelines. A letter connotes something that is not crafted with care. Not crafted with care. Since it is routinely discarded after being read. Now, but what should we say today? Who even writes letters anymore? And the email, before you can read it, it's already in the delete folder. Not if you email me. I'm very, Be'ezrat Hashem, good about responding. I try. A letter connotes something that is not crafted with care. It's routinely discarded after being read. A sefer, on the other hand, is written on parchment and it's permanent. We are not commanded to write any geres on Leah HaSeder to give to our children, but rather lisaper b'yitzia Mitzrayim kol oso halayla ad she all of the sun shachris is ready to be makaba on Malchus Shemayim. This can only be accomplished through the mode and the medium of sefer, because it's permanent, it's everlasting, it's on parchment. A sefer contains no superfluous words. I say it all the time. Nothing in the sefer Torah is superfluous. I say it all the time. A sefer contains no superfluous words or letters. A sofer writes a sefer for his generation as well as for the succeeding generations. When we visited Rhode Island in the summer of 2018 with my family, we went to the Touro Synagogue. It's amazing. It's the oldest, long-standing, established, still-going synagogue in the United States. I mean, my men daven there. It's 400 years old. My men daven there 3 times a day. Could you imagine? And the Jews were davening there when they came here. And we saw a Sefer Torah that was sent from the Jewish community in Amsterdam to the new community in Rhode Island. Where did we go? Where are the mansions? Not Providence. Where did I go? Not Providence. The other one. Where did you say? Newport, I think so. That's where the mansions are? Yeah. And we saw a Sefer Torah that was over 400 years. I had tears in my eyes. It was open to Az Yashir. It was just incredible. The Sofer does not, it was sent from the Great Synagogue in Amsterdam to the Jews in the United States at that time. It's not any geras. You read it, you remember it, you crumple it up one day. No, you press delete before you could even finish reading the last sentence. A sefer is written by a sofer to be transmitted not only for his generation, but to the next generations. Chazal maintains, says the Rav, continues the Rav, that at twilight on the 6th day of creation, the groundwork was established for some of the greatest biblical miracles, Pi Ha'ason, Hakashas, Haman, Pi Ha'Be'er. Included in that group of miracles, Chazal tells us in Pirkei Avos, that Hashem created Haksav v'Hamichtav, Ksav, Lichtov, V'Hamichtav, the ability to write. I don't know, is that compared to Pi Ha'ason? Is that compared to the Kashas? Is that compared to the Man that you could write? That this seemingly prosaic writing skill appears in this list of otherwise supernatural miracles suggests there is something extraordinary in the ability to record an idea, an event, and preserve it thousands of years into the future. Our Sefer Torah that recounts the story of Yitzia Mitzrayim, Shibur and then Yitzia, Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, through Kriyas Yamsu, Shvi'a Shal Pesach, is eternal for all generations. From the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the first sofer who wrote it down, it still continues down today. I mamish had tears in my eyes when I saw that Sefer Torah on that shul, yeah, Newport, Rhode Island, open to Az Yashir. It was incredible, incredibly moving. It's not any geras. And the ksav v'hamichtav, the ability to transmit this through the written word and inscribe it on a parchment and pass it down. The sofer writes the sefer, recounting the sipur, is of a miraculous nature, says the Rav. The written word allows us to delve into man's thoughts, to identify them. When we study Chumash, we are not merely learning events that took place thousands of years ago. Through the skill of ktav v'hamichtav, we become contemporaries of the biblical personalities. As a child in Cheder, I studied the parasha of Lech Lecha towards the beginning of the school year during the raw Polish autumn. I trudged through the muddy streets to school. I imagined Avraham Avinu traveling to Canaan under similar circumstances. As a young boy, I lived with the drama of the Akedah, the tragedy of Sarah's death. My heart would pound in fear lest Esav return home early from the hunt before Yitzchak completed the blessings to Yaakov. Today, we refer to what is popularly referred to as the generation gap. Children can find no meaning in their parents' experiences. What should we say today? They have difficulty identifying with past events that took place only 20 years earlier. Yet the ability to transport us into the past, to span generations, is the sublime idea between Haktav and Hamichtav. One can relive events that took place thousands of years ago. And is that not our tafkid on Leah HaSeder? To relive events that took place thousands of years ago. How? Through the mode and the medium of the Sefer, Lisaper HaSipur. The miracle of Ktav HaMechtav, says the Rav, is more evident on Seder night than any other night of the year. A key directive in the Haggadah is the statement, and here we almost come full circle as we're starting to close up our shiur. We began with Rabbi Lev, who began by quoting, "B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam lira'ot et atzmo ki hu luhu yatza mimitzrayim." We gave a lot of insights into that already, but here Rav Soloveitchik brings us back to that. A key directive in the Haggadah is the statement, "B'chol dor v'dor," you're a link in the chain. "Chayev adam lira'ot et atzmo ki hu luhu yatza mimitzrayim." In every generation, one is obligated to see himself as if personally he left Egypt. So Rav Soloveitchik asks the famous question, which we have been exploring this evening. How can we relive an event that took place 3,500 years ago? Did God give us a mitzvah? I'm stopping from the Rav for a minute. Did God give us a mitzvah that nobody can fulfill? You know, some mitzvahs Kohanim can do, some mitzvahs Leviim, some are for Malachim, some for Dayanim. Some for women, some for men. There's a mitzvah that no one could fulfill. No gender, no social strata. Nobody could fulfill. It's not possible. How can we fulfill an event that took place, reliving an event that took place over 3,000 years ago, says the Rav, through Torah Sheba'al Peh, a tradition that unites us with the previous generations and enables us to experience events simultaneously with them. And you go through the story, I shouldn't say the story, the experience of Leil HaSeder, this tradition of Torah Sheba'al Peh, Shehayu Misaprim B'Sipur Yetziyah Mitzrayim Kol Oso Halayla, Ad Shebo Talmideihem V'Amru Raboseinu. And in that vignette, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, you have the connection between the generations. There is the Talmid and the Rav. The Rabbeim spend all night, and it's going to eventually be passed on to the Talmidim. And of course, Shachris, She'eni Odeya, Chacham, Rasha, and Tam. Recounting Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, says Rav, is not merely telling a story. Anyone could tell a story. Anyone could make up a story. The imperative, and you shall tell your son, and that's what we quote, okay? Again, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lir'ot et atzmo ki luhu yatzam mitzrayim she'ne'emar v'higadata labincha b'yom ha'guleimar b'avor zeh. I wasn't one of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. I was the only one who left Egypt. The imperative, and you shall tell your son, V'yigadatal bincha, has a deeper meaning. And listen to how the Rav ends. It means that the son should be the sefer upon which the father writes. The foremost task of the parent, of the father, is to be the sofer who transmits the sipur to his son, who becomes the sefer. The father is this through, what is the fulfillment of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, Samech Peirish, that the parent should see himself as the sofer, who is inscribing the sipur on the sefer. And who's the sefer? The child. The foremost task of a father is to be a sofer, to transmit, to transform his son into a book upon which he writes, a book that will survive him, a book that will be handed down and imparted to succeeding generations. The appellation, the people of the book, says the Rav, does not mean that we are people who read books. We are a nation whose very being is a sefer. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim means inscribing one's entire religious consciousness upon the next generation. So the Rav is saying very, very similar to Rabbi Lev. They're just taking a little bit different approaches and different sources. The Rav is focusing on the Shoresh. The mitzvah of Sipur, Samech Peresh, means inscribing one's entire religious consciousness upon the next generation until that generation is ready to perform the same task. Like Rabbi Lev said, Ba'azne Bincha, you tell your son. He will tell Ben Bincha, V'yadatem, and then you will all know, Ki Ani Hashem. You inscribe your entire religious consciousness upon the next generation until that generation is ready to perform the same task of Sipur at their Seder table with their own children. How do you fulfill this mitzvah? Another aspect, we gave three answers according to Rabbi Lev and according to the Rav. L'man tesaper b'aznei bidcha. You become the sofer who transmits and writes the sefer by telling the Sipur. V'yigadatal b'incha b'yomahu leimor. B'avur z'asa Hashem Lee, does one person make a difference? Think of the shoe bomber and then tell me the answer. Chayav Adam lirot et atzmo ki ilu hu yatzam Mitzrayim. Thank you for joining tonight's shir. I wish you all a very meaningful and uplifting Chag Kasher V'Samech. And I pass on to the next speaker. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.